This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Eat the ribs. Show your stomach you care. Eat the ribs. Pull the rib chest of a power.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them.
You're listening to Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the web. On this National Day of Mourning for the survivors and loved ones of the attacks in New York and Washington, D.C., we're going to take time, actually, to reflect and also look back at the politics of this issue and also look at what is happening to the Arab American community here, especially in the Southland. And with us on the phone is Michelle Shihadeh, who's the coordinator of the West Coast Regional Office of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah. What is your feeling about the reaction of Americans to this tragedy?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the Arab American community and the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, send their heartfelt sympathy to the families of the victims for this tragedy and for this criminal attack that took the lives of their loved ones. We've been here before. We have experienced such backlash before many times. So this has been a trend. But, I could say that this time, what's different than before is outpouring support from people who are calling and they saying that they're standing with us, they are against any backlash, any discrimination, any bashing of Arab Americans, and that they understand that our community has been suffering because of that.
Yeah, even Mayor Giuliani, right, in his talks to the media, have warned against this backlash.
Yeah, not only Mayor Giuliani, but Colin Powell, Attorney General Ashcroft, politicians on the debating the resolution, condemnation resolution on the floor of the Congress. They spoke against treating the Arab American community in a hateful way, and that we are as a community a part of America, and we are a part of the suffering and the grief. You know, just for your audience to know that there was 450 Arab American businesses in the towers, and probably hundreds of Arab American victims are among the people killed in that criminal attack.
I think that wasn't identified in the media, huh?
No, yeah. Not yet. But it will be out.
Yeah.
And the Arab American community view these attacks as attacks on all Americans without exceptions, including Arab Americans. So we share all the emotions of our fellow citizens.
Yeah,
but the problem is, it's like a double jeopardy here. We're grieving. And we want to mourn, but fingers are pointing at us, and we keep looking over our shoulder.
Even the media, like this morning I was listening to National Public Radio, mm-hmm. and they were saying that these people who identified as being the hijackers had Muslim-sounding names, whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know what Muslim-sounding names means. I mean, what would Christian-sounding names means? I mean, my name is Michelle, and Michelle is a French name, so...
Do you feel, have you gotten death threats in the wake of Tuesday?
Yes, many. Very, very hateful and very intense death threats.
And how about faxes and
emails, telephones, and other ways, like in the streets and things like that.
How about in Orange County? What, especially in Orange County, what have there been incidents on the street? You said.
Incidents like people coming to Arab coffee shops and threatening the customers and the owners, and some guy was videoing the customers and videotaping them and intimidating them. I just got a report that a guy was chased in his car by two cars trying to run him off and things like that. People have been fired from their work. And,
really?
Yeah.
Was this a private businesses or private employers?
Yeah. That the employer told this guy, the Arab American, that all Arabs are terrorists, so you cannot work here anymore.
Wow. This was in Orange County?
Oh, no, this one was in Las Vegas.
How about the children? You would think children must be suffering a lot of this discrimination in school and stuff, huh?
Well, you know, surprisingly, my son, for example, is 17 years old, and he's a senior in high school. And he came home the other day, yesterday, and told me that they discussed the matter in his class, and that unanimously all of his classmates were very reasonable and supportive, and saying that a community should not be punished for the acts of individuals. So that kind of is heartening to know that those kids have sensibilities. The problem is when those kids hear their parents at home saying some stuff and bring it to school with them.
Yeah, prejudice is a learned behavior.
Yes.
Definitely. There was an Iranian reporter for the Orange County Register, and she was interviewing people at South Coast Plaza, and one person said, "Your people caused this," and walked away.
These kind of things happens, many times. Woman was filling her car with gas, and somebody told her, "Go back home. Your kind are not welcome here." There was many of these kind of incidents, but we're hoping that those statements and words are not translated into actions and hate crimes. Although we have incidents, very violent incidents that has happened. One in Seattle, for example, a truck jammed into a mosque, and the person who was driving it was firing firearms.
When was that, today?
In Seattle, yes. Wow. And a woman, I think yesterday or last night, was shot in Arizona, an Arab American woman. And an owner of a gas station was shot at, and it wasn't for the bulletproof glass who protected him, he would have been killed.
Wow.
And many others. I have a big list of these things.
Even in Canada, I heard from friends out there that there have been attacks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Stepping back a little bit from this, do you fear that there will be basically a war now?
I hope not. I mean, there is a lot of war mongering going on.
Yeah.
And, if you use a sword, as they say, violence begets violence. And what we need to do is to understand what are the root causes of these things and eradicate it. These are not, nobody knows who these people are. The investigation has not completed yet. And we want to eradicate terrorism. We want to stop terrorism forever. And the only way to do that is to understand what's causing it and eradicate the root causes of it. That won't happen again.
I wrote a letter that was published in the Register yesterday, and I suggested that it was partly because of American foreign policy that has gotten a lot of people in other countries upset at the U.S. government's policies. And although, not everybody who's upset ends up in doing terroristic acts.
Yeah, and you know, the problem of I can't talk a lot about this, but at this moment, because of the victims and because of respecting their memories, and sometimes I want to focus on them, but there is a lot of grievances with American foreign policy in the world. But I don't feel that I want to talk about that right now, for the purpose of grieving and mourning the victims and their memories right now, and not to try to justify in any way or sound like I am the murdering terrorism heinous crime that happened in New York.
No, I don't think it can be justified. It's just
I don't know. Yeah, you know, it feels, you know, but the time should come, and soon, when we reflect, as you said at the beginning, and start to dig deeper into the root causes of these things and the grievances that the world have with U.S. foreign policy, and discuss it openly and courageously and honestly.
Some people have said that now America knows what Israel feels like.
Well, again, I could tell you who benefited the most out of this incident. In America, they say follow the money, and if you follow, the money, you'll be surprised who benefited from this. But again, this is not the time to politicize the blood of those innocent people and those victims, to use it to paint the Arabs and Arab Americans as bad guys, or for anybody to score cheap PR and publicity victories or scores right now.
Do you think, however, that in time of war, civil liberties is the first casualty?
Exactly. And this is what worries most Americans right now, who feel that maybe under the pretext of fighting terrorism, civil liberties will be sacrificed. Everybody wants terrorism to be eradicated, including every individual, no matter who their background is, who their religion is, wants to feel secure and safe in this country. But also, there is ways of doing that without sacrificing civil liberties.
You know, on Thursday night, 2 days after the attack, the Senate approved the Combating Terrorism Act of 2001, which allows the FBI to surveil email without any warrant.
Yeah, and well, again, it's as I said, these incidents sometimes would be politicized by elements of the U.S. government or by others to try to push this. Hello?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So do you think that eventually that there'll be, do you see that there's a coalition of groups supporting Arab Americans right now?
Yes, not just a coalition. I feel that there is conscientious people in all walks of life, in all aspects, in the government, in the administration, in the Congress, in the houses, and society in general, who understand that you cannot allow to scapegoat a group because of who they are, and to hold the whole community suspect and as a collective punished for the actions and crimes of individuals.
On the line is Kip. Kip, go on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was... You know, there's a lot of people saying there's going to be a war, and I guess what they're saying is they're going to have to be a new construct, or like a legal construct of war, because, you know, traditionally we have to think of like two countries duking it out, where is this, how do you see, or is this, I don't know whether it's just emotion, or whether there's actually some, what path, I mean, if you want to, first of all, I don't think you could call a war, it'd be some sort of bombing, because a war, to me, implies two forces fighting. I mean, you've got a very small group of people that is difficult to attach to a nation. What are they? Do you know what the plans are, or is this just, or do you have any clue, or does anybody have any clue? What? How can we bomb something? How can we bomb an entity at this point?
Well, you know, as if you look at what the president said, he said that they're not going to differentiate between terrorists and the countries who harbors them. And this is situating or setting the ground for, you know, hitting a whole country, like Afghanistan or like Iran or like Iraq or like Sudan. And this is political posturing in a way, instead of looking into the situation and really truly trying to eradicate terrorism, and not to use the situation in a political way to push a certain agenda.
That's kind of what I thought, although it still seems difficult to me for them to reach a point where they can say, okay, let's bomb Afghanistan. What part of Afghanistan do they bomb? Do they punish the people? They may not hit. Well, maybe they will. Maybe they can find out where these guys were, if they indeed were there. Or are most of them dead on the plane? That's another thing. Here are these guys, the guys that perpetrated the crime, a lot of them are gone. That makes it really tough to find a bad guy and then, you know, execute a punitive act against that person, so they have to find the people that helped them. And still, it seems like a tough thing to construct, you know, without, I mean, they're going to have to do a lot of PR to help sanitize it if they just start bombing Afghanistan. And what, like I said,
no, I mean, if you listen to analysts who understand the situation, understand the issues, they tell you that there is no way you know, it can be done as they say it will. This is not an easy problem, and this is a complex problem, and the complexity of the problem requires complex solution, not an easy. There is no easy solution, because it's not an easy problem.
I'll let you guys go. Thanks for the time.
Sure. Bye. Hello. Hello.
Can you hear? Oh, I think we may have lost our caller. We can get back to him in a sec. Let's have a break here. We were talking to Michelle Shihadeh, who's from the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee here in Orange County.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they
This is Sylvester here on KCI. We're back with Michelle Shihadeh from the ADC. So what do you think is going to happen this next few days or few weeks?
In terms of our community?
Yeah.
Well, we're expecting the backlash to worsen the next few days. But what's heartening is we're working with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and there is another committee that has been established in the Justice Department just to deal with this problem, the backlash against Arab and Muslim Americans. So hopefully, but also what's positive about this is people are calling to learn more about the community and about the issues and about who we are.
Yeah, I think
that's the bright side of things. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a shocking incident like this to get people together, to bring people together, and as it brings the worst out of some people, but also it brings the best out of others.
Definitely. I've seen some really interesting analyses of even Muslim religion, how, you know, because some people argue that terrorism is tied to the religion, and others argue that it's not. And so there's actually a lot more kind of more sophisticated analysis that I've seen in op-ed columns last few days, actually.
Well, this is like saying that terrorism is a part of the Christian faith because of what Timothy McVeigh has done.
Or the Crusades or something.
Or
right.
Timothy, the Oklahoma guy bomb.
Right, I know, yeah.
Or the Crusade, or all the wars that happened because of, in the name of Christianity. But again, these acts are crimes. They got nothing to do with any religion or with any causes. They are as far away from Islam and as far away from Arabs as the same way as Timothy McVeigh is not a representative of white America or Christianity.
So you reject that this was a political, some people say that, okay, these people are crazy, but then other people say that they're actually political fanatics.
What's a political fanatic? I mean, I didn't see demands, I didn't see a negotiation, I didn't see anything.
That's true.
Those people just did a crime.
Yeah. And
nobody knows who they are. How could anybody say it's political when nobody knows who they are?
With us is Dr. Stefano Sensi, who's an activist here in Irvine also. He's here on the show also.
Well, I want to ask you a question. I'm sorry, actually, it was late, so maybe you already answered the question. But there is any sign of division or some kind of fracture within the Arab community in the United States?
You mean in terms of condemning this?
Overwhelming,
unanimous consensus and wholehearted condemnation of this attack. And I'm talking about not just the Arab American community, but the Arab world.
Yes.
Even in Palestine, every walks of life, every organization, including Hamas, including Jihad, including the DFLP and PFLP, who condemned this act. So
the DFLP didn't take credit for it. Village Voice had early piece saying, claiming that.
This is the first impulse. They wanna put it on the Palestinians. But what I'm trying to say in answer to your question is that the condemnation is 100% and wholehearted in the strongest possible terms. Arab Americans share the emotions of all Americans and all of our fellow citizens, and we are mourning and grieving with everybody else.
Absolutely. And what is the immediate fallout of this tragedy? Because we see that, you know, political activities these days actually are collapsing. We have cancellation of demonstration after demonstration. How far will actually this one stretch any serious debate about the Middle East situation, in particular the Palestine issue?
Well, sure, the community feels very vulnerable right now. We just canceled the Arab American Festival.
Yes.
There are about 30,000 people would attend it. It's supposed to take place in next week. We have canceled a big conference on Palestine that was supposed to be the first weekend of October.
Yeah.
We have canceled meetings. People canceled subscriptions to Arab magazines and newspapers because of their fear of the situation.
Do you know, there's some email that was going around that said that the images that were showing people clapping over in Palestine was on the West Bank, was that images from like years ago that CNN put on?
Yeah, I just had a report that the footage that was used was footage from 1991 when the Palestinians were reacting to the Iraq-Kuwait war.
So they.
But anyway, even the shot that Israel TV took and distributed worldwide it was of a handful of Palestinians, and now the media is making it look like it's been thousands, but it's a handful of Palestinians, and those Palestinians have been misguided. They saw a camera and they danced in front of the camera not knowing what they're doing it for, but that's not a representative of the Palestinian people feeling. The real representation of their feeling is what the American Consul General in Jerusalem has said, that the Palestinians came in thousands to wish him, to give him condolences and to send their sympathies and to donate blood. Boxes and boxes of condolences came to the consulate. These were the real Palestinian feelings. The Palestinian people are people who are suffering and will never feel or get happy about the suffering of others. Also, those people who committed the crimes in Washington and in New York, those are people against freedom, people against humanity. And the Palestinian struggle is a struggle for freedom and for humanity. And those people would never be but enemies of the Palestinian people as they are enemies of the American people, the humanity in general.
We have on the line Doug. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Michelle.
Hi.
I think it's very important that you come on the air today, and I appreciate your doing that. But I think I just, listening to you, I think you made a contradiction. Mm-hmm. You said that it was, because I saw the video on television of the Palestinian children celebrating the attack, mm-hmm. Tuesday's attack. Mm-hmm. And first, I just don't believe that CNN would fake it. And if they
did, I didn't say, I know, I said I got a report from Brazil. From a communication professor.
I also saw another email which somebody actually compared the two videos.
And I can't verify and vouch for
it. But somebody did compare the two videos and they were exactly the same.
They say that they compared the two shots.
Right. Well, Dave, have you seen the two videos or is this just what they said?
No, I'm just saying about the report. But
because rumors are rampant around this thing. Rumors are rampant right now.
Right, but when I said that there wasn't a contradiction, then I talked about the Israeli shot, which was a real shot, you know, and I said that forget that the footage of the CNN, but this shot is a handful of Palestinians.
Well, no, so you're saying there is a shot of a handful of Palestinians.
There's two issues here. One is there is the first shot that has been shown, and then there is the CNN footage that they've been showing it about more people.
So what you're saying is there is a legitimate shot and there's also a fraudulent shot that you're showing.
Yeah, there is one shot that has been used at the early stages, which is four kids, one woman and an adult man.
Well, if this is true, this is a huge scandal against CNN, and you need to make your organization...
I cannot really vote for this report. What I'm saying is...
Wait a second. You're on the air now. Why are you making a report that you can't vouch for? Isn't that irresponsible of you?
Well, I'm making it too.
You're trying to avoid the. This is not the point we're discussing.
Right, that's not
what
the point.
What we're discussing is, yeah. I said, the Palestinians, the real shot who they had it. The Palestinians, there was a handful of Palestinians. That's not a representative of the Palestinian feeling.
Well,
we don't want to discuss the CNN because that was just a passing comment.
Okay, I'll
take it back. It's not important for our discussion. And if the CNN is using a fake footage, people would know about it, and it would be a scandal for the CNN.
Okay,
but that's not our subject here.
You also made a cryptic comment earlier saying, ask who benefited, and I didn't understand what you mean by that. Could you tell us what you meant by that?
I'm just asking, in America, they say, follow the money. You tell me who benefited from this. And then, if you can answer the question...
I can't see how anybody did. What I'm saying is,
if they are accusing the Arab American community, if they are accusing the Palestinians or others, this is the hardest thing that came upon politically to affect the Palestinian cause, and they didn't benefit from it.
Oh, absolutely.
So
not.
Who benefited from it?
Well, who did? You tell me.
Well, the people who benefit from it is the people who would try to push an anti-civil liberties agenda because of that in the United States. The people who want to increase war-mongering and spending money on war more.
So you think those people...
And the people who would use this politically to benefit like Israel is trying to do. Those are the three parties I will see benefit from this.
Thank you. I think we lost our caller. Thank you very much, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was Michelle Shehadeh from the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. And on us with on the phone with is another Michelle, Michelle Chosodowski, who's a professor from Canada. Welcome, Michelle.
Good evening.